Baby, could you? I got too much on my mind right now. Welcome to Rat Purr Football Weekly. This is our third episode for season three. As always, we want to thank our sponsors, Custom One, for their very generous support of the Raptor football program and the use of the equipment. I'm here with Scott Holderman and Coach Fritzy. And with that, Scott, take it away.
Hey, thanks, John. Hello, folks, and welcome again to another edition of Raptor Football Weekly with Coach Dan Fritzy, presented by Custom One Homes. I'm your host, Scott Holderman. Last week, the Raptors fell 18-22 to the Forest Lake Rangers in a game that was, you know, really back and forth at the end. I mean, there's Cedric Tomes at 121 yards passing on 18 attempts. He also led on the ground with 32 yards rushing, but it came over 17 attempts. Vincent Hurley added 29 yards on the ground. On defense, Ben Knopp led with a total of eight total tackles. Well, Matthew Brennan notched one interception. Coach, that had to have been a tough game to come away from. I mean, really some missed opportunities. A lot of mistakes by both teams, penalties, yep. Missed opportunities. Team came out really flat in the beginning on that first drive, kind of that weird fumble by Cedric on third down.
Yep.
You get that big break after a fumble, a long run by Jerkovic. You know, really couldn't get anything going, though. Talk about those first couple drives.
We did come out flat, I think offensively and defensively, and it's tough to pinpoint what that is. You know, if I had to say, it was that our kids hadn't seen anything like them yet. And I don't think they were ready. And I think they would admit that. And so the problem is, and it's a good learning lesson, is you cannot let your guard down. It doesn't matter who we're playing. You let your guard down and you're going to get jumped on like that. And all of a sudden it's 15-0 and they got all the momentum. Their crowd's going nuts and our kids are feeling down. But it showed a lot of our team to hang in there. I've seen teams quit there. I've seen teams roll over and make it really difficult on themselves to come back, and we certainly did not.
I mean, Forest Lake really runs an interesting offense.
And yeah.
I think when you watch it from the sideline camera, you can't really get the appreciation of it because when you're looking at it from the end zone, it's a lot of misdirection, a lot of motion, a lot of counter. How did you think your defense handled that?
Well, what they do is they split you in half, right? They'll have option going one way and then a counter action going, possibility going the other way, and then possibly a QB ISO up the middle. And you're always having to defend each third. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's a really well-designed offense in that regard. But our offense or our defense just made a few mistakes the first couple drives and weren't doing what they had done all week. And those little mistakes led to big gains and led to touchdown drives. And so they were fixable, and they fixed them. And I was like, okay, calm down. This is why this is happening. Mm-hmm. Do your job. But at the same time, you're playing that offense. It's an option offense, and sometimes it's triple option. If you are out in position, they can bust it, and that's what they did towards the end of the game.
It's got to be hard, especially, I think, at the high school level for kids to stay disciplined, right? To not want to go and make that play on the quarterback and stay with the running back as they're coming out. Do you find that be the case?
Yeah, it usually is, and our kids made those mistakes sometimes, but the ones that we really got hurt on is we really just took poor angles, right? You might just for a split second think that you're coming in on a QB and then he pitches it and you're running the alley and you come in tight or whatever it is, but it was really just our angles on a couple of those plays. Otherwise, we played the option really well.
Yeah, I mean they had a lot of rushing yards. It was like 272, I think, for the game. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a much different game from the game against Park, who you guys really controlled the line of scrimmage, but.
Yeah.
Talking to John here before the podcast started, I was telling him about that number, and he's like, God, it didn't seem like that.
No. Though. Well, they got a bunch on the first two drives, and they got a 70-yard touchdown run. That's going to pop that up to 270, but everything in between is what we're telling our kids. That's what we need to be. That's what we need to be out there, and you can be that. You're just not there, and you have to understand we got to do that for a full game. And so we'll see if they're able to do that.
So, I mean, you go down 15-0, kind of early in that second quarter. I think they scored right at the end of the first quarter and right away again in the beginning of the second quarter.
Yeah.
Off two long drives. I mean, what are you feeling as a coach at that time? I mean, you got to really change the narrative there, right, and hope that it happens.
It's not a good feeling.
No.
It's not. I mean, you feel it. The kids feel it. You feel it. Oh, man. and their crowds going nuts and their players are going nuts, and it wasn't good. And so there's nothing else to do other than say, we got to fight. What else? That's what I tell the kids. What else are you going to do? Are you going to run away from this? We're here. Yeah. We're playing. Yeah. We're in the arena. They're not going to stop the game. So let's go. And that's all you can do.
Coach, one of the things that I've heard you talk about for a lot of years is removing the fear of failure from playing. And I think it creates this freedom, maybe.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how, you know, you're down 15?
Right.
Talk about that mindset.
Well, one, there's two aspects to that. One is when you're being coached, if you think you're going to get screamed at every time you make a mistake, mm-hmm. you're just going to be afraid to make a mistake. So that's why we do everything we can to be positive coaches. The second is, if the kid is so worried about losing the game, then they play really tight.
Yeah.
And so where I got that from is that's when I played my worst when I was a player. I very vividly remember just, oh my gosh, I hope we don't lose this game. And then I would just play terrible.
Right.
And then I finally decided somewhere in my high school career, like, okay, just stop worrying about it and playing out fun. And I played the best game ever. Like, oh, that's how that works. And so trying to convince the kids of that was difficult. But somewhere in the year last year, they bought into that, and it's carried over. But at the same time, you still are a competitor, and you're still in that fight, and losing is horrible. And it's going to creep in. That's why you got to address it and fight back against it.
Well, and, you know, some of these kids have experience with that. I mean, you've had some wild games in the last couple of years.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, that same Albertville game. I mean, you're talking about some low moments coming back, right?
Right, and I talked to the team about that after the game, and exactly what I said was, you have to want to be in this game. Well, you don't. Why would we want to be in a blowout? I want to be in the game that comes down to the wire. They're the most fun games.
Right.
Of course, it's way more fun when you win, but we can't be scared of these games, and we have to expect that these games are going to continue and just embrace it and accept that that's our reality. That's where we're at. Great. All right, let's enjoy it and let the game happen how it ever happens. Win or lose, we're just going to play our best.
So, I mean, after being down 15-0, you know, you really get, you break out with a nice drive, and Cedric gets a touchdown run there. Really just something you just needed to get right there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Part of it was, you know, they came out, it was weird. Either they were confused or they were doing something different or both. I know their players were scrambling around and getting in the wrong position, but then we would run a play thinking they would be somewhere and they were in our way and it didn't go well. Right. And so it took us a couple drives as coaches to say, okay, let's just forget where they are and just run our base stuff that we know we're going to do. And if they're there, we're just going to block it. And we told our kids that, and we, you know, we might be outnumbered in the run game here and there, but we'll be fine. And that's the drive that we did that. And that showed when we marched down the field.
Yeah. You know, 92 for Forest Lake, we talked a lot about him in the last game, and, you know, you really, I mean, he had 10 tackles. He certainly affected the game at points.
Yeah.
But it seemed like he had a good game plan for him.
Yeah. We really wanted to run away from him. Or if we ran at him when he was slanting inside, we wanted to run outside. So we were able to see where they were playing him and call our plays accordingly. They played him to the field a lot. I don't know if you noticed that we ran into the boundary a ton, that's because they just plopped him into the field and dared us to run to the boundary. And so we did. We overloaded our formations into the boundary and just kept him on the backside. And he's going to make plays. He's going to make plays in the backfield. He beat our kids on the backside a couple of times. And we told him it's going to happen. I mean, he's an amazing athlete. But the tackles that he was making were usually down the field for 5-yard gains. Now, he had the great play in the sack, which is a poor play call by me. But other than that, we felt like we did do a good job of neutralizing him. And even in the end of the game, we had a couple of our linemen really stand him up and pass pro. And that really showed our kids, wow, if you can block him, you can block any D lineman in the state. He's that kind of player.
Yeah, that sack he had kind of at an unfortunate time. You get the turnover on the punt return, and you know you got a good field position. He's just out there just out there against one tackle. I think
Blue
leg runs right towards him, makes a big play.
Yeah, we booted at him thinking he would bite, and it was a third down call. Shouldn't have called it, and that's on me. And the thing that's frustrating for me as a coach is you make him look like an All-American. He gets up and he celebrates, and like, I made a bad call, and, you know. And that's, but we're thankful we have a nice field goal unit who's able to drain a long kick.
I was just going to talk about that because we don't talk about Luke Gracie that often, and I mean, what a luxury to able to have a kid that can line up on the 30-yard line and kick a 47-yarder.
Right? Yeah, with ease. I mean, we're not even – it doesn't – that's what – the distance doesn't really matter for us. You know, once we get 30 and in, we're, I'm not worried so much about losing yardage. Just like on that third down play, that was part of that, that we're going to kick a field goal anyway. And so having him there is just a nice safety blanket for us on field goals. But and then having the other team start on the 20 all the time his punts are the sideline, I mean, he's a weapon.
So, you know, going into half, very different feeling, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, a little momentum going into the half after being down 15. What was the message at halftime?
Well, we go from down 15 nothing to the world against us to all momentum against us to all of a sudden we get 15-10, even though it was disappointing to get a field goal there still. But then our defense got to stop it there at the end of the half. And, you know, you just never know. You don't, it's not over until it's over. And they throw a Hail Mary or whatever, and they get a stop and okay, it's a one-score game. We're kicking off. We're right in this thing. We may have started horribly, but it's 15-10. And our kids were pumped up, and we just said, it's going to come down to the end. And let's just play this thing out and keep fighting it. Defense is going to stop, and we just got to get the first score. And it was a lot later than we had hoped, but we did get the first score.
You know, over the years that I've kind of watched you and followed your teams, I mean, there's always seems to be one game where and it usually is a loss, I would say, but that kind of galvanizes or maybe you know, something to build off of. And this seems like, I mean, everything offensively was hard in this game, right? I mean, every yard very you tough. Were scratching for, and, you know, they were ripping off some big chunks, but you were staying in it and fighting and fighting and fighting. Do you think this could be that game for your team this year?
You know, we certainly hope so. And and it's a good point because it does seem like that's happened every year. Even going all the way back to 2015, we lose the Lakeville North the first game, and our kids, that galvanized them for sure. What you can see from a loss like this is when senior leaders get in front of the kids and they just start demanding more. And that can only happen with a loss. That's in a loss like that. And they're like, hey, we lost this because we're not practicing hard enough. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from the seniors. And that is what it takes for a team to make that next jump. I can only say so much. But when kids are doing it, when they're leading it off a game like that, yes, that happened. So we'll see how they respond to that, though. That's obviously remained to be seen, but there's a good chance that is one of those games for us.
So no points in the third quarter, and really, I mean, no points until 5 minutes left in the game, essentially. And I mean, that's a testament to your defense. I mean, they came back and really, you know, after having maybe a little bit of a rough start, really, really buckled down in the second half.
They did. They kept us in the game. They kept giving us chances. They just felt like they had finally locked into what Forest Lake was doing. And no matter what you do, you're playing a good offense, they're going to make plays. I mean, which is why you have to mitigate what they do. You have to limit the big plays and just get them off the field. Right. And I think they finally realized that and buckled down, like you said. And then offensively, it's okay. You're kind of pumped up because the defense keeps giving you chances.
Right.
And, you know, but whether it's turnovers or forcing punts, and we just felt like we're going to break through. We're going to get it. And we got down there. I think I can't remember how much time was left in the game, and we called the reverse pass and we fumbled it. And so we came off and they said, coach, they didn't know we were running it. We'll get it again. So, okay, as soon as we get down to that spot again, we're going to run it and we're going to score. The defense is going to stop. We'll get the ball back, and that's how it's going to go. And that's what happened. And so that was fun.
Well, that was what I was going to talk about next. I mean, this reverse pass he had. And what I love about this play, it reminds me, so as a Purdue alum, right, I had years recently with Jeff Brohm as their head coach. And Jeff Brohm was a trick play master. And what I loved about Jeff Brohm throwing trick plays is that he would do it from spots in the field where you wouldn't think it was going to come from. And you were on the 25-yard line? And you're running a double reverse past the end zone. You don't have much field to work with.
No.
So, and it's a long play to develop.
It is, but we kind of measured that out of a play like that. You're the maximum, the closest you can be is about the 25. And a deep throw is usually 37 yards-ish. And so I just thought, you know, once we get near there, If we need it, we're going to run it. Well, our running back who had repped it all week was cramping.
Okay.
And so we were just trying to run plays to wait for him to get up off the ground.
Yeah.
And he finally did. So they said, okay, he's ready. He hobbles out there and he runs it and executes it perfectly. And so, you know, it's one of those things where it works in practice. We showed kids clips of it, of other teams doing it. And they kept, coach, we're ready, it's called, it's yeah. running. So it was one of those things where they're excited about, and we thought if we execute it, we're going to score.
Well, I love it because it puts it on film for other teams too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're in that, you know, short field, I mean, yeah. it really opens the playbook. Hey, you got to look for a lot of different things there.
Yeah, and that mindset of putting things on film for other teams is a very real thing, right?
Oh,
not
yeah.
just that, but every other thing that you do, you have to take that into consideration when you're a D coordinator, and then from my perspective as an O coordinator, knowing what they know, and then how are they going to view you? So that's just one more layer to that.
So, I mean, again, a lot of momentum, just a tough way to end though, right? I mean,
yeah.
you come back, kind
it's
of
crushing.
Busted coverage on the option, and
yep.
then followed by the fumbled snap on defense.
Yep.
Really just,
yep.
I mean, it really took the wind out of everybody's sails.
Yeah. There's no way around other than
yeah.
it's crushing.
Yeah.
It's just, if you're a competitor and that doesn't crush your soul, then
yeah.
you're not a competitor. I mean, that's what I tell the kids. If it doesn't really hurt, then you're probably not in the right spot right now. And it just hurts me so much because you just want the joy you want the kids to experience that joy. Mm-hmm. That joy of winning a big game like that, especially the way we start. Like, oh my gosh, their kids were so down and they worked so hard, and then
yeah.
okay, now we're back. Oh my gosh, we score with 5 minutes to go. This is it. And then you gotta understand that there's another team on the side that's good and they can make plays too. And that's just the way it happens. They had the ball last and they scored, and we didn't execute when we had the chance that we did, and that's it. And all we can do is be hurt, learn from it, and then we gotta get up and we got a JV game the next day.
Right.
And our JV team played awesome, and they got a win. And okay, now we got to get up and go to work on Monday. Again, what else are you gonna do?
Right.
You're gonna face so many situations like that in life. That's why we really harp on that and use that for our life lessons. You're going to get hit hard in life. You're going to get crushed. This is a game, and you're hurting bad. You have two choices,
yeah.
get up or don't.
Right.
And our team's getting up.
You got games left in the schedule.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we got good teams to play, uh-huh. so we have no time to feel sorry for ourselves.
So home opener, open over tomorrow, back home for the first time this year. What's the feeling like then at school? I mean,
yeah.
a little more energy around this team this week?
Absolutely. In the school, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the first game, you're not in school yet. The second game, you're on the road. We've traveled three times for the scrimmage and for two games.
Yeah.
Finally get to play a home game. It's tackle cancer night. Randy Shaver is going to be here. We're
yeah.
playing Stillwater, who's
yeah.
won the conference, seems like every year the last few years. And, it's a big deal, and our kids are excited for it.
Yeah, Stillwater, I mean, again, we talk about the schedule, how great some of these rivalries are, and to keep having them year after year here.
Yeah.
Stillwater is a team that's interesting offensively in the sense that they can spread you out, but then they run this just kind of pretty, right in your face eye formation
yeah.
offense.
Yeah, they have one of the best running backs in the state,
yeah.
and they have one of the best quarterbacks in the state.
Yeah.
And what they do is they get in the eye and they hammer the running back. And once you overplay the run, they have two receivers on the outside that you are forced to leave one on one, and they'll just play action and throw one on one routes to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence and the beauty of that offense is they can hand it to the back either way. They can hand it to the fullback up the middle, and then they play action, hit you on the edge with the receivers, and it's tough. And then they switch over to a spread 10 personnel
yeah.
As a counter to that.
Yeah, so, and they've had some interesting games. I mean, they lost big to Lakeville North, I believe.
Yeah.
One, and then, beat Woodbury pretty handily. So does that make it difficult from a film study perspective when you have two kind of extremes like that?
No, because they played Lakeville North tough. That it was 14-7, I think, going into the fourth quarter, and
yeah.
that was the rain game,
yeah.
and they had a hard time throwing,
yeah.
know, and Lakeville North overplayed the run, and they didn't have that option to throw. I think they threw for like 25 yards, something
mm-hmm.
like that. It was just I think that was an anomaly. And I thought they played Lakeville North's offense really well. Their defense, I think, shut them down. They gave up a couple of big plays. But then the Woodbury game, it helps a lot because it's just Woodbury does a lot of stuff on O&D.
Yeah.
And it kind of exposes some things that you need to see.
Yeah.
Right. So from that aspect, it both films helped a lot.
Well, that's all we have time for, folks. I want to thank Coach Fritzy again and Custom One Homes. Coach, good luck tomorrow.
Appreciate
against the Stillwater Ponies. Big game. I'm excited to come watch the game. We'll see you all tomorrow night at 7. Thanks, folks. Wow.
Baby, could you? I got chips